This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The bodies of the recently dead are returning to life again in the new updated version of Night of the Living Dead. These unsightly zombies originally rose from the dead in George Romero's 1968 horror classic. Romero is the executive director and co-writer of the remake. He asked Tom Savini to direct. Savini is a wizard of special makeup effects. Gore is his specialty. If you need to show a victim with an axe in his skull, or a young man slicing his arm open with a razor, or a zombie gnawing on a human thigh, Savini is your man. He did the makeup effects for Romero's zombie sequels Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. The only Romero film he didn't work on was the original Night of the Living Dead. Savini also did special effects makeup for Friday the 13th, Maniac, and Creepshow. He directed several episodes of the TV series Tales from the Dark Side, but Night of the Living Dead is his debut as a feature film director. I asked him why George Romero wanted to remake a film that's already a classic.
Well, when I read interviews where they ask him that question, he says, plain and simple, for financial reasons. And I don't think that means that he's greedy or anything like that. I think that, one, he owns the title, and when you're shopping what you own around, you know, that's something that you possess and can get, you know, financing for. But the other reason is that the original film made a fortune, but he and his investors made nothing. It was a bad business deal. Now this is the opportunity for him to finally repay himself and those investors.
What did you want to keep faithful to the original movie, and what did you want to change?
I wanted to make sure that that people were reminded from the very beginning. I think George was counting on the fact that most people know the first film. And with his script, I think using that knowledge, we were able to manipulate people who expecting the plot to be similar or the same. After the first twist or turn, then they don't know what to expect. And we can make it more suspenseful and intense based on that.
Did you enjoy having other people do the special makeup for the movie?
Oh, of course. I used to go home with blood all over me every day, you know, when I was doing the effects. However, you know, when I was doing the effects, I was only in charge of that department, being the director, you know, in charge of all the departments. But I still got my hands in on the effects. You know, I was helping them throw bodies on the fire, and I did a squib on a guy one night.
The first movie that you made with George Romero was Dawn of the Dead, which was the first sequel to Night of the Living Dead. And a lot of this is set in a shopping mall where, you know, the Walking Dead come back to life and start going up and down escalators and, you know, schlepping through the shopping mall. This was really more graphic, I think, than any other horror movie I can think of that came before it. Was that your intention, to make Dawn of the Dead and The Walking Dead in that movie more graphic than people had seen before on film?
Yeah, well, we had to. Actually, my first film with George was Martin.
The vampire movie.
Yeah, but in Dawn of the Dead, I mean, this was the sequel to Night of the Living Dead. Now, when I first saw Night of the Living Dead, you know, as an effects guy, I thought that the zombies, the makeups, the effects could have been a lot more sophisticated, more state-of-the-art. What George did was I think George was actually doing the effects on the film. He was using chocolate syrup for blood and mortician's wax for makeups, and having to do everything, you know, that I think that suffered. So in Dawn of the Dead, clearly here's an opportunity, and it was a color film, to do something, I guess we went overboard, more graphic because of how primitive I thought the first film was. I mean, we would sit around thinking about, you know, how to kill people. I mean, that was our daily, you know, our exercise. And we would go to George and say, how about if we took a screwdriver and drove it in a guy's ear? And he would say, okay, you know, and we would just go do it a couple hours later. So it was like Halloween for 3 months, you know, and it was like anything we wanted to do, George would let us do. And I think because it was released unrated, everything stayed in.
Oh, rather than take the X, you released it unrated so you could get
That's
as graphic
what he did,
as you wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of scenes in that movie, as there are some scenes in your new movie, of people taking bites out of each other, people munching on a thigh. What new effects did you have to come up with to show that?
In Night of the Living Dead?
In Dawn,
I did the opposite.
No. In Dawn of the Dead, I mean. Yeah, Night of the Living Dead, there really isn't that much munching.
No, I clearly did not want it to be a splatter film.
Right.
In fact, the only munching that goes on is toward the end.
Toward the very end, yeah.
And I treated that voyeuristically, as if you were far away watching a bunch of lions feeding, and your mind kind of filled in the gaps, and you, some people will make it more grotesque, and for some people it'll be a relief not to be, you know, to see all that stuff. To me, movies, splatter movies, like, oh, the Friday the 13th and those kinds of films are pornography. And what I mean by that is they go in, they zoom in for a close-up of the cut throat or the eyes gouging or something like that. The same way in pornography they zoom in for the close-up of you-know-what. Music video deaths, you know, it's very stylized, you know. And that clearly shows that they don't care about the story and the acting, and, you know, because they're going in for this. I mean, clearly when they zoom in for a shot like that, we know where their minds are. It's for the exploitation. It's for the thrill for the second. And I don't want to be that when I grow up. I want to do something sophisticated. I want, I've 40 some years of watching horror films. Why aim for a lower level of that sort of thing? Do you know what I'm saying?
That must put you in a pretty odd spot, though, because, you know, for so many years you were the special effects makeup person, and the effects were being used in a context determined by somebody else. So did you often feel that your work was being used in an exploitative way?
You're being kind when you said I've been a special effects artist. I've been called the king of splatter, the god of gore. You know, with my name on a film, you expect to see an enormous bloodbath because of. But then again, see, I didn't write that stuff that I worked on. My job was to take the script and create as realistically as possible what the script called for. And most people don't realize how much art, sculpture and casting and painting is involved in even splatter films. So for me, it was to create this stuff as realistically as possible. And of course, I would get all the flack. You're sick. You're demented. How could you do that? Well, again, I didn't write it. I'm an artist creating it. I'm not saying those who write it are, you know, sick or demented. I mean, I'm not in that world. I mean, my job as an artist was to create it as realistically as possible. So I know what you're saying. People will expect with George Romero's name and my name on it to be this horrendous bloodbath. But I think, and you've seen the film, I think they'll walk away with a little more respect for who we really are.
So are you going to be staying away from very graphic, violent films now?
Well, I mean, you know, the Hollywood rule, if there's one thing that's absolutely for sure, nothing is for sure. I could get typed, who knows? I mean, the nice thing about the splatter movies is they got my name out. There's an infamy attached to my name. Now I can use my name, and it's gotten me to this point to direct a feature film, and it's a horror movie. I think I'll probably get mostly horror movies, but what I really want to do is action. And you can tell from Night of the Living Dead, it was pretty gutsy. Action, I mean, there were no punches pulled. There were no stunt sound effect kind of. You saw every hit. You saw every collision. I want to do action adventure, swashbuckling, trapeze, kind of most dangerous game-like movies.
Well, let's go back, though, and talk about some of the effects that have made your reputation over the years.
Okay.
And made you so well-known in movies. And why don't we go back to the first Walking Dead movie that you worked on, which was Dawn of the Dead, the sequel to Night of the Living Dead. And this is very graphic. Zombies taking bites out of people, eating thighs. Did you come up with new effects for the movie?
There was a script, but as I said before, we would sit around and invent all sorts of, I would say we added 60 to 70% of the gore into that film. Our job was to sit around and think of ways to kill people. In fact, when George asked me to do the job, he sent me a telegram and said, we have another gig. Think of ways to kill people. Call me. there were so many things that I did 16 stunts in the film. I was 16 different zombies getting hit by trucks or slammed or bammed or shot or thrown over a balcony or, you know.
Couldn't find someone else for the job, or do you enjoy this kind of stuff?
Well, no, I mean, I guess they didn't get their act together enough to hire some stunt people. And then, of course, I opened my big mouth saying, hey, I can do that stuff.
I'd like to hear more about the makeup that you used for it. It's a movie with a lot of blood. What do you like to use for blood? What's the most realistic-looking blood?
Well, I'm embarrassed about the Blood and Dawn of the Dead. It looked like melted crayons. It was terrible. It was a 3M company used to make a blood called 3M Blood. Sometimes it looked good. Most of the time, though, like I said, it looked like melted crayons. The best blood is Dick Smith's formula. Dick Smith is the god of makeup artists, the Godfather, the Sentinel, Midnight Cowboy, Taxi Driver. You know, it goes on and on and on. His formula is basically Cairo corn syrup, red and yellow food coloring, a preservative, and a wedding agent. His is the blood used throughout. Every makeup artist uses his formula.
So you use his formula most of the time now?
Yeah, but not in Dawn of the Dead. Right after that, Friday the 13th, all the other films after that, I used Dick Smith's formula.
What kind of special makeup or casting or whatever did you use when people were eating other people's limbs?
Well, most of that was sausage and bologna and chicken with some kind of a blood-colored barbecue sauce, you know. Or anything that they might have at craft services that day we would throw in, you know, have them chewing on it. But some people were chewing on some pretty awful things that were laying around for a while.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like there might have been, a big ham bone or something that... the worst thing was Day of the Dead when we had a 5-gallon drum of real intestines from a slaughterhouse. We went to Florida to shoot some beach scenes and came back and jumped right into the tearing apart scenes where they were chomping on intestines. And while we were gone, somebody had unplugged the refrigerator. And you can't imagine what it was like, what that stuff smelled like. And we couldn't get new stuff. I mean, these poor extras were with wax up their noses and, you know, English leather on their mustaches and upper lips to try to fight the smell, you know. We're chomping on some of the real stuff there.
Did they get sick?
No, it's amazing. The one actor that it happened to was trapped in a floor because we had to tear him in half and his real body was underneath the floor and a fake body was on top. And I have a video of the actual of the scene, and he was ready to heave any second. You know, luckily we got him out of there in time and away from the aroma.
Did that work for the movie to have him look that sick?
No, you never saw him sick in the movie. The only cuts they used was when he screamed choke on him when they dragged his legs away. Hey, it's a living, you know.
Does it feel funny talking about this on the air?
I don't think I've ever talked on such a prestigious station about such a horrendous subject before.
Well, sometimes I think about how's this going to sound, you know.
Yeah, somebody just kind of tuning in after after breakfast or something. What are they? Who is that? You know.
Well, if anybody is wondering who is that, let me tell you that I'm speaking with Tom Savini, and he's considered one of the wizards of gore. He's a special effects makeup person, and he's done the effects for all of George Romero's movies, with the exception of Night of the Living Dead. And now he's made his directorial debut, directing a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Actually, it's the retelling.
Sorry,
it's the same story. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the word for that? Remake.
Remake. You can call it a remake. I tend to think of it as a retelling. It's like if you had to do it over again, what would you do? You know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Tom Savini is my guest, and he's been called King of Splatter, King of Gore? Is
that let's see. Let's get it straight. God of Gore, King of Splatter, Splatter King, Wizard of Gore, Demented Sick,
and so on.
Take your pick.
No, you've just directed the updating of Night of the Living Dead. You weren't around when the original was made. You were actually in Vietnam. If I have the story straight, you had met George Romero right before the movie, but you had already enlisted and...
Right, I had enlisted in the Army on the hold program, which means they have 140 days. You can be called in within 140 days. So I met George Romero. We talked about doing the film. I showed him my portfolio, and he was all, you know, I would have worked on the film. But they called me in, and I was in the Army and in Vietnam when he really filmed it.
So you were a combat photographer in Vietnam?
Uh-huh.
So that means that you were seeing the real thing, I mean, in terms of gore and violence. And what was your visceral reaction to having to photograph the wounded?
Well, it was a visceral reaction. I think everybody who I came in contact with over there who was experiencing that, most of us were able to turn off our emotions. It became necessary to turn off the emotions. Those that didn't were in big trouble, emotionally, mentally. it's not something that's easy to do. I think your body, you know, if you're in an accident, your body, you go into shock and your body takes over and tries to protect you. I think your mind does the same thing in that situation. My mind took over, turned off my emotions, and I was able to look through the camera. Looking through the camera lens was also a help, because through the lens I could pretend and see it as special effects. And it did affect my work. Some people think that my makeup work began as a result of Vietnam, but no. When I was 12, I saw Man of a Thousand Faces, and from that day on, I wanted to be a makeup artist. But what Vietnam did to me is there's a certain positioning of a body or an expression on the face, a clenching of the fist, of even a severed arm that I almost stepped on one day, that if I don't get the same kind of feeling when I see in my effects work, then to me it's not realistic enough. And I think that might be the edge that as a makeup artist I conveyed, you know, or added to my effects, and thereby getting that moniker, the king of gore, you know.
What kind of photographs were you called on to take when you were in Vietnam?
I wasn't on the front lines, but if something happened, my job was to go in after a battle or a fracas and photograph damage to equipment and people.
I'm wondering what it was like for you to do movie versions of this after having seen real pain, after having seen the real suffering of it, and especially to do it in some of the movies that were, either more exploitative or more campy in their approach to it.
Well, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever gone in depth about talking about this sort of thing. But as you were saying that, I was thinking, okay, when I was there, I had to turn off my emotions. And when I got home, my emotions stayed turned off. It's not something that clicks back on so easily. It's almost like in Deer Hunter. Suddenly they're at the wedding and zoom, the very next frame, they're in Vietnam and they're in the middle of a fracas. And that's what it seemed like. I mean, I got on the plane, I went there, but suddenly, boom, my mind was there immediately. And then when I came home, it was the same thing. Boom, it was almost like I didn't remember getting there or I remember coming home. And my first marriage suffered, and I was divorced because of my Vietnam experience, I think, because I was emotionless when I came back. Suddenly, I think about a year later, I saw a sunset, and that marked, to me, the beginning of feeling something again. So now here I'm doing movies, and I'm doing this gore and this splatter. I wonder if I suddenly zoomed back into that emotionless state. No, I don't think so, you know, because when we're doing it, we said things like, God, you know, we can inflict this on the audience. Wait till they see this. But mostly, you know, we were creating something that we felt was artistically correct and was going to be dynamic. And only when we would be sitting in the movie theater watching the audience was it like, wow, yes, oh, gee, look what we're doing to these people. I can't, you know, believe. When we were doing it, we wouldn't think about that. But when we were sitting in the theater, that's when it came to us. God, they're really affected by this stuff, you know.
Have you ever felt that you were not being true to the real suffering that you saw by recreating the suffering for movies?
Not being true to the real suffering. Well, you know, if it was a Vietnam picture, then I would have some input. I think I would have to say if I thought something wasn't being filmed correctly, something that show what the way it really happened or what really went on. But in these horror fantasy films, you know, it's just a roller coaster ride, and it never really got that serious. Most people saw it for what it was, you know, fantasies and adventures. The films that dealt with films like Maniac or films that I'm actually afraid to watch, like Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer, things that deal with creeps who really exist out there, that's things that I don't want to see that stuff, you know. I want to go to a movie to escape, not to be reminded about the 6 o'clock news.
So you haven't seen Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer?
No. I cast
Tom
Cole.
You cast one of the co-stars in it, yeah.
I did, but I cast him mainly because of our conversations on the phone, the photographs he sent me. I knew I wanted Harry to be repugnant. And when I met Tom in New York and read him with other actresses, and also physically, he was the right type. He was balding, but the film itself, from what I hear, I'm just kind of afraid to watch it. It's not a music video on death. It's kind of a realistic portrayal, a very overly violent thing. It's a very subdued. From what they tell me, it makes me afraid to see it. You know.
Tom Savini is my guest, and he's one of the wizards of special effects makeup. He's worked on all of George Romero's movies, with the exception of Night of the Living Dead, but now he has made a kind of updated remake of Night of the Living Dead. It's Tom Savini's debut as a director. You must have been pretty wacky as a kid, you know, when you started doing this, when you were still in your early teens, running around shopping for blood and pulling a lot of stunts, I'd imagine, in school and maybe in your family.
Well, obviously when you do this sort of thing, the outlet for practical jokes increases, you know.
Yeah,
by
also,
leaps and bounds,
yeah.
You know. And I was wacky as a kid. After I first saw that movie, Man of a Thousand Faces, I mean, I was shining shoes in my neighborhood to get money to buy makeup supplies. I lived and breathed makeup. I was reading everything I could about how they would. I asked my cousin one day, I said, how do they put the hair onto werewolves when they do that in a movie? And he said, spirit gum. Most people know what spirit gum is. It's a stage adhesive. You know. I thought he said spearmint gum, okay? I'm 12 years old. So if you can imagine me chewing spearmint gum and trying, and this can't be right, you know. So I was trying to learn how to do this stuff. I would make up friends of mine, you know, with scars and burns and wounds. And, you know, a lot of times I would never be invited back to their homes, you know, their parents. No, I don't want that Savini kid around. He's crazy, you know.
Right, right. Can you explain how you create scars and wounds?
Ever since the silent movies, there's a chemical called collodion. It's a non-flexible plastic substance that you brush on. It's a liquid. And what it does is it attaches itself to your skin and then contracts. So if you remember Tom Berenger in Platoon, mm-hmm. or Donald Pleasance in forget the James Bond film where he played Dr. Blofeld, that deeply recessed impression of the skin is collodion. And if it's wounds and things, then, you know, you make a cast of the person's arm or face, wherever the wound is going to appear, and you actually sculpt, for me, anatomically correct wounds and duplicate them in foam latex rubber, glue those on to the person's face or, you know, arm, whatever it is, color them, you know, the way they should be, paint them the way they should be, add the KY lubricating jelly for the sheen and the blood, and that's basically how to do it, but it actually depends on what the script calls for.
You really have to know a lot of techniques, both of art and medicine, probably. For instance, like when you're doing fangs, you have to cast somebody's teeth as if you were a dentist.
A special makeup technician today who was worth anything is a sculptor, a painter, a mold maker, has to know something about mechanics. He has to be a dental technician, a chemist, for all the formulas for chemicals and for appliances and for rubber bladders, you know. You have to be somewhat of a psychologist because you're dealing with these actors all the time. I think you need to be a photographer for a sense of composition. It's so a sketch artist. It's so much. I get letters from people, kids, who are maybe 14 or 15, on stationery that says, Joe Blow, special makeup effects artist, and his stuff is very crude. He obviously knows nothing about the stuff. But I hang on to those photos because, you know, years later, I've hired people who started out that way and who have become really wonderful sculptors and makeup artists and mold makers. And most people who want to get into the business, I think they know from what they read that they have to know all that stuff.
Did you ever look at yourself in the mirror with one of your get-ups on and scare yourself?
No, I mainly get scared looking at myself when there's nothing on my face. Just my face, you know.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It was a pleasure.
Tom Savini did the special makeup effects for movies such as Day of the Dead, Martin, Creepshow, and Friday the 13th, and he's just made his feature film directing debut with the remake of Night of the Living Dead.